Welcome to Inside New Mexico. I'm Derek Underhill, and I'm talking with the chairman of our Republican Party, Steve Pierce, former congressman of the 2nd Congressional District of New Mexico. And Steve, I got to tell you, I've been watching the news, and remember last week I was talking about we have to have proof. The affidavits are great, but we need proof that there was funny business going on with these votes. And now I've seen it. I actually watched the video of the situation in Georgia where there was a fake water main break. And everybody was told to leave the room where they were counting the ballots. And then the poll workers came in after the watchers left and started pulling crates out from under the table and putting ballots in. So there's actual proof on video, not just an affidavit. I think our listeners know that I would like to see President Trump reelected. But I got to tell you, if I was a poll worker, I could not do it. I could not throw away a Biden ballot, even if I was a poll worker and saw he was winning. I'm very disappointed. Where are our patriots who keep our elections free and honest in this country? What happened?
Well, what happened is that somewhere along the way, a lot of Americans have given up their values of the republic and the idea that we're going to have competing viewpoints between the Democrat Party and the Republican Party, and one will sometimes win and the other lose, and then the tables will turn years later. The other team will win. And so we've had this pendulum swinging back and forth that kept us from ever going too far one direction or the other. And so the Democrats right now, from the leadership down to certain local levels, not all Democrats, but many of the elected officials inside the Democrat Party are wanting to destroy the opportunity for anyone to be elected except their team. And I feel like it has to do with personal gain. I think that it has to do with just the belief that we need to move to a Marxist or socialist system. And they don't see any way to get that through the American public in a vote. And so they're going to force the issue any way that we can. And so that whole idea of ballot security is one that is playing out in a very large way here in New Mexico right now. We were kicked out of the viewing rooms when they were certifying the absentee ballots here in New Mexico. Certain counties kicked us out. We appealed to the Secretary of State. She said that she was not going to intervene. So we filed with the Supreme Court of New Mexico an emergency request to be heard. They declined to hear the case completely. The law is very specific. It allows challengers to be there. And even if the law didn't allow it, then ethical constraints would say that we should have both parties there available to watch, county clerks of either party, so that no one is able to cast doubt about the validity of an election. And yet that's what happened here in New Mexico. But the law says they're supposed to have video cameras in these spots. We didn't have video cameras like they did there in the election you're referring to. So we can't prove it, but certainly it gave the opportunity for great mischief to occur. We keep seeing anomalies in the reports of votes from different places in New Mexico. So the Republican Party of New Mexico on Friday filed a lawsuit to impound the ballots in Bernalillo County, and we're going to have a hand recount of those. It should allow us to answer once and for all. If there were anomalies, fine. We will report it. If there weren't, then we will report that, and we will give validity to races that right now seem to have a lot of questions. The way that this works, if you apply for a recount in New Mexico, you have to pay the paid Secretary of State and county clerk employees, and that's costing $3,200 a day per precinct. With over 1,900 precincts, you can imagine that the cost to do a statewide recount in New Mexico is in the millions of dollars. And so we could never afford to do that. And I think that's the intent of the underlying law. But what we did find was a provision in the law that allows you to impound ballots, and you can count those with volunteers. And so that's the process that we're engaged in. We start that recount process early in this week. Keep in mind that we're recording this on Sunday, but the recounts will have started by the time you're hearing this program, and maybe we have some clear ideas if we see vote shifting that has occurred in our races. Now, one county already is showing absolute proof where votes were shifted from President Trump over to Joe Biden. And so there's the potential that that has occurred in all the Dominion machines across the country. So we're going to try to prove up on that concept.
Steve, if our listeners want to volunteer or donate money to help this, is there a way to do that?
Sure. If they just simply go to our Facebook page and sign up there, or you can send an email, send it to steve@gopnm.org. You can call into our offices. I'm going to let you give that number.
I'll give this information again at the end of the program, but you can call the Republican Party headquarters at 505-298-3662. That's 505-298-3662.
And then check on our Facebook page or our web page and sign up there or contribute on the web page. Lots of ways to get involved, but we're going to need hundreds of people to count these because the count of ballots in Bernalillo County alone is pretty overwhelming. But we intend to take it one House district at a time. We'll let the House candidates provide volunteers for that particular area. As we move forward, we're going to file in other counties, Sandoval, Valencia, maybe in Socorro, in Doniana for sure. So we want to take a closer look at machines all across the state because the potential is becoming ultimately evident across the nation that the Dominion machines had great potential for mischief. Now, as we're talking about that potential for mischief, Dick Morris was reporting from InfoWars and Gateway Pundit. Both of those news groups had investigated through the SEC and found where the Chinese had given a check for over $400 million to the Dominion software company. They did that through UBS Securities, a Swiss firm that owns 25% of UBS Securities Limited. That happens to be a Chinese firm. And so they have this complex web of UBS, an investment firm in Switzerland. So they have this kind of complex layering of similar names and supposedly different organizations. But the truth is that the money is coming straight from the Chinese to Dominion Software, $400 million in October of this year. As the investigators look back into 2014, they find in December of 2014, another $200 million payment. So it looks like the Chinese were definitely doing something to buy favor with the Democrat Party that controls this Dominion software. So a lot of things left to be determined nationwide. I'm seeing where more of the state legislators are having and insisting on hearings where they listen to the people talking about the fraud and the corruption. And now then it looks like some of those legislators are going to demand that the U.S. Congress refuse to seat electors in some of these states where the outcomes were obviously skewed. So a lot still left to be done before the swearing in January of a new president. I don't give up one inch in saying that I want to see evidence of wrongdoing before we declare that the results of the election should be reversed. But I'm certainly not on the bandwagon saying that Joe Biden has won fair and square. So we'll let it play out. We'll let it play out in the courts. We'll let it play out in these recounts, and we'll see where it goes. Let the truth prevail is my final comment on election security.
We will be back with more on Inside New Mexico in just a moment.
National Guard and Reserve members are true leaders, both in the military and in the workplace. They are highly skilled and get the job done every day. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve, ESGR, can help you recruit top-notch service members to your workforce. Hiring Guard and Reserve members is good for your business and good for your community. Visit esgr.mil/employers to learn more.
Welcome back to Inside New Mexico, and I am talking with the chairman of our Republican Party of New Mexico, Steve Pierce. Steve, I understand former Governor Bill Richardson is back in the news and not in a good way.
He's back in the news. The Daily Mail, a guy named Ryan Perry West, has written a very extensive article on more corruption that was occurring during the Richardson administration. He was able to cover that up by appointing people into the positions of oversight that are required in New Mexico. But since they are all allies of his, then he really never had to worry about being discovered. But they have done heroic work in uncovering what is called the Richardson Ring. That was a ring which contributed money for him to really use as a slush fund. And it's turning out that a lot of evidence that they're uncovering shows that that slush fund was used to fund a pretty debauched lifestyle, one in which he's paying out of the slush fund for sexual favors and sexual services. And so, again, When you put this on top of the alignment with Jeffrey Epstein, then you start getting a picture of our former governor. He served as governor from 2003 to 2010. But you get a picture that is really an unpleasant picture when you think about trusted, loyal servants and setting up really fraudulent schemes to take slush money illegally from people. And so this lawsuit that is filed is intending to be able to get some compensation back from public servants or candidates who defraud the public. And so that, I think, is the basis of the actions against the governor. As we talk about that governor, we have to transition into the current governor. Her recent health orders with the red, yellow, green, they really have just set off a host of complaints. One of the biostatisticians from Albuquerque, he came out after the announcement of the three-cover scheme to allow businesses to reopen as the way it was sold. And he says reopen. He said 32 of the 33 counties are currently in the red zone, and it will take at least 5 to 7 months to work their way out of that. So we're not really talking about the ability to move into the green zone at all. But as you look and break down this health order, then the green zone actually is going to allow companies only at the best to operate at 50%. Now, the person that put that policy into place has never had the challenge of trying to make a small business work. We have many of the small businesses across New Mexico reporting that the owners have burned through their life savings. They've cashed in their CDs. They've cashed in all of their savings account, maybe the 401ks, trying to save their businesses. And it's all going to be for naught because there's no real hope of opening up to 100% anytime soon. The states around us are opening up, Texas, Arizona. The other states are beginning to learn to manage COVID. Now, the governor released reports that KOAT put on the air last week, and it showed 33 new fatalities in New Mexico. Now, 33 new fatalities, you can't shrug at that, and you can't wish it away, but you got to do a little bit deeper dive than just saying that people died. And so when you count the number of people in that 33 that were reported, then 25 of the 33 had underlying conditions. And so you can't really say that COVID was the exact reason they passed away. And then if you do further analysis, 27 of the 33 were over the age of 70. That means that they were already in somewhat fragile condition. 25 of the 27 had underlying conditions. And now you have a mortality percent that is more representative. So what you can tell is that you've got 0.8% chance of dying here in New Mexico from COVID. That's the statistics that 1,738 people have passed away with COVID, or COVID was a contributing factor in some fashion. And you just roughly say that we've got 2 million people. So that's 0.8% of the people in New Mexico are going to find this to be a fatal problem. But if you dig deeper, even if you get the COVID, you got a 98% chance of survival that only 1,738 of 106,850 have died. And that's 98% survival rate. For a 98% survival rate, we have killed the businesses of New Mexico. We have burned up the life savings of individuals as they wrestle with trying to pay the bills and not having a job to go to. We have caused companies to say they can't survive in New Mexico and either shut down or leave. We have individuals leaving the state. We've kept the kids out of school. And kids almost have no mortality. I think in the entire time of COVID that we've lost one child that's somewhere between the age of 0 and 18. And so with that kind of low risk, we still are causing undue devastation in the education system for our young people. Those are years that they're never going to be able to reclaim. So the harm that is caused to New Mexico families from these shutdown orders is beyond belief. And the risk of dying is infinitesimally very small. And yet, when our governor says she's listening to the science, it looks like she is not listening to the science. She's listening to emotion, and her emotions say, if you have one death, that's too many. Well, that's a pretty extreme standard to live by. If we're going to say one death is too many, then we should not have cars on the interstate. New Mexico is leading the nation now in suicides. You have drug abuse, which is claiming many lives. So many times, the politicians are willing to look the other way on certain deaths, but on the COVID, the governor is using this as a total excuse to shut things down. Heaven help New Mexico as we move forward, because it'll take decades to rebuild the damage that's being done right now, and all in an event that is 98% survivable in New Mexico.
Before the election, there was a theory that Joe Biden would not be able to fulfill his term as president, step down, and so that Kamala Harris, vice president, could take over as president. Is this something that could be true?
Well, it's looking more and more like it's true. Listen to his words, because I was stunned in listening to this clip.
The thing, we are simpatico on our philosophy of government and simpatico on how we want to approach these issues that we're facing. And so I don't have, and when we disagree, it'll be just like, so far, it's been just like when Barack and I did. It's in private. She'll say, I think we should do A, B, C, or D. And I'll say, I like A, don't like B and C. Mm-hmm. And it's okay. But, and I, like I told Barack, if I reach something where there's a fundamental disagreement we have based on a moral principle, I'll develop some disease and say I have to resign.
It's becoming more apparent that some sort of a deal has probably been worked between Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, and their different supporters, that Biden will be sworn in, but it looks like that Kamala Harris, for all intents and purposes, will either be the acting president or the real president if Joe Biden steps aside. But you know, more and more articles are now just openly talking about Kamala Harris sleeping her way to the top of the Democrat Party. And so these evidences that are showing up just tell us that the corruption that we've faced in the past in the Obama administration with Joe Biden and his family is possibly going to get even much worse once Biden and Harris are sworn in, if they actually are sworn in. It's one reason that a lot of people are investing a lot of time to try to make sure that the results of the election are in fact truthful, or if the election was manipulated in some way, either by outside forces or inside forces. But a lot of questions still remain, but the risk is very high if Joe Biden is actually sworn in as president.
We will have more on Inside New Mexico after this.
On behalf of the New Mexico Department of Health, take COVID-19 precautions. Wash your hands frequently for 20 seconds. Don't touch your face. Use a tissue or your elbow to catch your sneeze or cough. Avoid large gatherings and close contact with sick people, especially if you are elderly or high risk. If you have a cough, fever, or shortness of breath, stay home from work or school. Do not go to the ER or doctor's office without first calling the coronavirus hotline. And avoid all unnecessary out-of-state travel. Help prevent the spread of COVID-19.
Welcome back to Inside New Mexico. I am recording this segment on December 9th after the Republican Party of New Mexico officer elections, so I can give you the results. Then I will be talking with Ali Aniga, who won for Congressional District 1 Vice Chair, and Amy Barella, who won for Congressional District 2 Vice Chair. So to the election results, there were 172 SCC members who voted in the virtual election. Incumbent Chairman Steve Pierce won with 76 votes. Eddie Aragon received 47 votes. Jeffrey Snyder got 41 votes. And Eric Lucero received 8 votes. So former Congressman Steve Pierce will have a second term as chairman of the Republican Party of New Mexico. First vice chair went to Robert J. Edergon. Second vice chair went to Robert Bob Taylor Graham. CD1 vice chair went to Ali Aniga. CD2 vice chair went to Amy Barella. CD3 vice chair went to Anita Statman. Secretary is Marie Trujillo Spinelli. And treasurer is Leonard David Chavez. Ali Aniga won in the recent election for CD1 Vice Chair of the Republican Party of New Mexico, and she is with me on the phone. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you today?
I am doing all right as well. Tell me about why you decided to run for CD1, that's Congressional District 1, with the Albuquerque area vice chair?
Well, good question. I ran because as a candidate who didn't win, I'm not going to say I lost because I just didn't win, I just felt like it was important for me to stay active and to stay involved and to make sure we were going in the right direction with the party. So that's one of the reasons.
So what direction would you like to see the party go?
Well, I'd like to see more grassroots. I'd like to see more individuals involved. I'd like to see younger people involved. And I would like to see, you know, more family-oriented things done. Because we are. One of the slogans is faith, family, freedom. And family is important. And I think that we're neglecting some of our younger people who have kids. And I just want to see that improve. Not all of them. We're not neglecting all of them. But I just think there are some kids who've woken up and who see what's going on in this state. And they want to do something, and so I want them to be active. I want them to be a part of what we're doing. And I really loved the grassroots efforts that were done this past election with the Trump team and with RPNM and with all of the candidates that we had. There were so many that were just grassroots and getting out there and doing what needed to be done, and I think we need to do that in the party as well.
And so there is a stereotype that our opponents put out that we're racist and different things. And so kids hear that, and of course, they don't want to get involved with anything like that. So your job, I guess, is to prove that's obviously not true.
Correct.
Yeah.
It's not true. And I think more and more people are realizing that. I had the opportunity to talk to a lot of people who are independent and Democrat, and those people that I talked to were just tired of the status quo, and they had promised to vote for me, so I believe they did. And I just really feel like we can bring them. We can bring them into the party and help them to embrace their conservatism, because they are conservative, a lot of them, and they just don't know it.
Yeah, well, I found that, too. There are a lot of conservative Democrats who did vote for Republicans this time. And so there, things are changing. I see the Republican Party registered 30,000 new Republicans in the last
season. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
And it was more than the Democrats did this year.
So the party is working more than I've ever seen in the 20 years I've been in New Mexico. And so I'm glad you're on board with it and go in the same direction and have some great ideas to bring along.
Oh, thank you. I'm really excited about it. I was a little nervous at first because I don't know all of the ins and outs, but I'm getting there and I'm getting to learn and I'm reading the bylaws and just getting a real feel for it. And we have had a meeting and introduced ourselves and got to know each other and took care of some business that needs to be taken care of right away. So I'm very impressed with the other members of the board and look so forward to working with them and building a good, solid grassroots team.
I've been talking with Ali Eniga. She is our new Congressional District 1 Vice Chair for the Republican Party of New Mexico. Ali, thank you.
Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Now let's switch over to Amy Barella. She has won the CD2, that's Congressional District 2 Vice Chair for the Republican Party of New Mexico. Amy, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Tell me why you ran for a second term.
I feel that through my first term, I didn't get enough done or had more to do. The coronavirus definitely slowed down my momentum, but initially ran because of my love for New Mexico, and I thought that my experience as chair I would be able to bring to the 19 other chairs in CD2.
I have never seen the Republican Party more active than I did in this last election for 2020. What would you like to see happen going forward?
It was definitely active, and I would like to reactivate all the chairs. And, you know, we're going to have new elections in January for county chairs, and some will run again, and some will come in new. So I would like to help the new ones and the old ones with events and fundraising and definitely community outreach and voter registration drives. I would like to bridge the communication that it seems that, you know, the RPNM and the chairs have always had with training and just any kind of resources that we can help with the chairs.
And I noticed in this last term, in 2 years, they registered 30,000 Republicans in New Mexico. Will you continue working on that?
Oh, most definitely. Here in Otero County that I'm based out of, in 1 month, we did 425. And that was amazing. We've never had that much momentum before.
Why do you suppose people are making that change to the Republican Party? What's happening now?
Well, I do believe that people see the direction of the state. You know, with the current governor, she is bound and determined to keep our businesses locked down, and it is hurting our families, our economy, and it's going to be something that we may not be able to recover from. And so we have to make sure that we get the right people elected so that we can bounce New Mexico back, bring in new businesses, and help those recover.
Well, wish you good luck in the next 2 years getting all this done, and we hope maybe we can talk to you again throughout your term. I'm talking with Amy Barella. She is Congressional District 2 Vice Chair of the Republican Party of New Mexico. Amy, thank you.
Thank you for having me on.
As I mentioned, Steve Pierce did win re-election for chairman of the Republican Party of New Mexico, but I thought you'd be interested in some of his accomplishments during his past two-year term. Under Steve Pierce's leadership, Republicans reclaimed the 2nd Congressional District seat, raised more than $6 million, registered more than 30,000 new GOP voters, recruited a record 101 legislative candidates, built a massive infrastructure, and developed strong volunteer and outreach programs. The Republican Party of New Mexico also made election integrity a top priority, winning legal challenges to protect New Mexico voters. We mentioned earlier in the program that the Republican Party of New Mexico needs your help to recount ballots. If you would like to either donate money or personally help count the ballots, please go to www.gopnm.org. Or you can call Republican Party headquarters directly at 505-298-3662. That's 505-298-3662. The party also has a Facebook page, and the Twitter account is at New Mexico GOP. For Steve Pierce, I'm Derek Underhill. We'll look forward to meeting with you again next week right here on Inside New Mexico.